Buffalo News education reporter Tiffany Lankus, welcome to Press Pass.
Thanks for having me.
You, of course, covering education and most recently wrote an article about the mandatory kindergarten for this fall for the Buffalo Public Schools. Obviously, the district will be preparing very soon for this. It's a big deal and it's very important. How critical will this be to help relieve some of those high 40% absenteeism rates among kindergarten students?
You know, that's a good question, Eileen, and I think it's one that they don't really know the answer to yet, because the trick with the mandatory kindergarten is it somewhat lies in enforcement. And, you know, when I worked in Rochester, this was somewhat of a big issue there, because the only way for the district to really enforce is to actually call Child Protective Services on families. And schools tend to be very hesitant to do that unless it's absolutely necessary. So, you know, the people at the district are hoping that, if nothing else, this creates more awareness for people to sign their kids up, to really reinforce the importance of having your kids in school at that early age. And I think they're hopeful that there will be an increase in attendance and even enrollment. But I did get some statistics from Rochester after they implemented a similar law, and they actually saw their attendance go down. So it's maybe not a magic cure-all, and it seems like the results will rely on how well the district gets its message out and really, hits home with families with that message.
And I know Assistant Superintendent Will Carestis had said it's not necessarily that those parents don't want their child to go. Dealing with inner city and poverty issues, there's other obstacles that come into play of getting the child to school.
Oh, absolutely. I was at the Blackman Early Childhood Center the other day, just talking to some staff there. You have issues if you have families, parents who work multiple jobs. It's, difficult to get your kid there. What does the transportation look like, the school hours, that sort of thing? And kids at that age, you tend to see in your kindergarten and your first grade levels lower attendance, comparable to the high school levels. And those are little kids that really can't get themselves to school. So if there are issues at home for whatever reason, that has a huge impact.
And when you were there, they did talk about some of the students that are in other grades that are actually struggling because they didn't have that earlier childhood intervention.
That's really the key. I had a very interesting conversation with the district's early childhood director, some of which is very difficult to capture in print when you start to get into brain research and whatnot. But, so much of a child's brain is developed by the time they're 4 years old. And that's kind of the other interesting thing about the story is kindergarten is likely only the tip of the iceberg. There's a school of people who really think they need to start mandating pre-kindergarten, and some think that will be the next step to this.
Will the district have to hire more kindergarten teachers? I mean, how are they going to be equipped to do this?
They will have to hire more kindergarten teachers. And, I think the sense from Will Carestis, just kind of going back and forth a little bit on the enrollment expectations, is that this might be a gradual increase. They've already been getting the word out, trying to recruit more families, and they're monitoring those numbers for their staffing needs. It may not be an overnight, hundreds more kids showing up. But over time, I think the hope and the expectation is that they will gradually be able to get those numbers up.
It'll be interesting to monitor this fall as the kids head back to school. Switching gears a little bit, you've had a chance, an opportunity to look over the Buffalo Public School Vision Plan, something that the new majority has put together. They're kind of seeking quietly, you said, some input from the community and stakeholders out there on public schools. What can you tell us about that? What does it outline?
The ultimate goal of the plan, which is the new board majority, and I'll reinforce majority because there's some controversy around how that plan kind of came to fruition, but they say that their goal is to create more seats in high-performing schools. Obviously, we had that issue last year where you had close to 2,000 parents who requested transfers for their children, and the district just couldn't accommodate them. So they have kind of a six-prong approach to doing that, one of which is charter schools. We heard Larry Quinn, especially during the school board campaign, talk about this desire to recruit more charters here. One of the most interesting things that I think we hadn't heard in the plan is a state recovery zone. And basically what that would entail is taking some of the lowest performing schools and turning them over to the state. This is unprecedented. In New York, the state, I think, has only had experience taking over one high school downstate. The results have not been fabulous, but this idea is out there to see if maybe if the state comes in and takes some of these most struggling schools, they'll be able to do a better job. Both of those pieces of the plan are key because they're also ways that they can kind of circumvent the union contract. Most of the charter schools have their own union. They're not Buffalo Teachers Federation. And depending on how the law was written allowing for the state recovery zone, it could also be exempt from the union. So those are kind of the two big pieces.
There seems to be a very strong indication of some sense of anti-union from the majority board.
It's, you know, and I think if you asked them, they would say it's not intended to be an anti-union. Obviously, that's if you ask them. Phil Remore might have a different take on it, as might many of the teachers. You know, and this, what's fascinating about this to me, Eileen, is it speaks to this kind of tug of war that's going on all over the country where you have what some people would characterize as your corporate reform agenda. You know, business leaders taking a more active interest in schools and trying to apply business principles, competition, merit pay. That's kind of the whole thought behind the charter schools. You know, on the other hand, I think people on both sides realize that these issues are far more complex that the kids are dealing with. And I think sometimes that those ideas are interpreted as an anti-union. It's a different school of thought.
Well, and of course, leading all these future decisions within the district now is new leadership with Don Ogilvie taking the reins as the interim superintendent, of course, very qualified with his past superintendent roles and Erie One BOCES. Do you think he's the man that's going to be able to move some of this forward in the most responsible way?
I think he's in a good position to. He is very well regarded throughout this community, both in the city and the suburbs. He's very well respected at the state level, and obviously the city school district does not have the best working relationship right now with the state education department. So he's certainly, given his experience, you know, I think even his demeanor is in a position to heal some of those wounds. A big piece of that will be if he can get some sort of unity on the board. And that's not necessarily, you know, everyone voting in favor of everything, but the situation right now is quite contentious. And I think most people that I've talked to on both sides and who observe the school system agree that it's not very productive in the end to have that level of kind of bickering and debate dominate the conversation.
Yeah, because the percentage of what's really about education and what's happening in the classroom is so minor.
Right. I mean, you sit through anyone who sits through those meetings and the level of, you know, kind of catfighting between the board members, you know, far outweighs the number of actual meaningful conversations about what's happening in the classroom. That said, the most recent board meeting, there was kind of an interesting exchange, which you'll read more about. Sandy Tan and I have been working on a story that should be running soon. But they were having a conversation about adding teaching positions to East and Lafayette high schools. And, you know, this became a very heated kind of exchange. And Jim Sampson, the new board president, kind of stopped the debate and said, I want to hear from Teresa Harris-Tigg because she knows EPOs better than anyone at this table. And I think to those of us there watching that thought, huh, that's interesting because he, you know, is deferring to her expertise, recognizing that she has an expertise, and kind of, you know, putting aside this idea that's out there of kind of the majority versus the minority. And the way the vote fell, it was everyone except for Carl Paladino and Jay McCarthy voted to add these positions.
Now, you've had a chance to talk to Mr. Ogilvie. His vision focused on the students. And how is it different for you in comparing what we saw with Pamela Brown? I mean, her big thing was to improve those graduation rates and improve attendance. Where does his focus lie beyond that major challenge?
You know, it's funny because in education, you kind of always get this, you know, focus on the classroom. I'm for the kids. I've never heard anyone say they're not for the kids. You know, the proof will be in the pudding, pardon the cliche, but the advantage I think Ogilvie will bring is he is an expert in state policies, mandates, programs, to the point that, you know, writing an application to the state for grant funding is not going to be a big hurdle. You know, that will allow him and his team to be able to focus on what's actually in that plan. And I think that was some of the issue we saw with Pam Brown and her team is most of them were out of state. And I think you know, just me when I came into the job, you could see the steep learning curve that they were on. And, you know, that just, it's going to take longer if you have to navigate that to put your focus on the classroom.
Well, Tiffany Lankus, we could probably talk for hours. Thank you so much for joining us in our Press
Absolutely.
Pass conversation.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll continue our conversation in the future with you.
Sounds good.